When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Stop that for one moment. All right, this is the song of the summer, by the way. I got to make sure this is a clean version. Okay.
Is that the jelly?
Huh?
Is that Jelly Roll?
No.
Oh, who's that?
That's the boy. Shaboozy.
Oh, okay. Oh,
of course.
Okay. My bad.
At the bar getting tipsy. You want to get the clean version of that? I would love to hear that. I'm hooked on that. It's become a big TikTok song.
That makes sense.
See, in my day,
that makes sense. It all makes sense now.
So this is the time. I mean, we're now at the end of April. We got to find our summer song. When you're getting your tan game on out there on the golf course and you got to play a tune that gets you like fired up. Like, don't you guys have a song you listen to in the morning driving in?
Not every day, but...
Come on, feel the noise.
I'm a huge...
Girls, rock your boys.
Mark Morrison, Return of the Mac. It has nothing to do with... Is that what you listen to every morning?
I haven't listened to Quiet Riot in years.
See, we're old enough.
I was listening to that song today.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay. Get you going.
One to two. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Leper Messiah. Actually, there you go. There's your morning song at 5 a.m.
Weezer's version of Mr. Blue Sky has been something I've been...
Yeah. What'd you say, Leopard Messiah?
Leper Messiah, not leopard. Yes, he's singing about a cat.
The Leopard Messiah.
Yes, that gospel is for you, Jimmy.
What does that sound like? Mr. Blue Sky by Weezer.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, we're about ready to just break out. Fridays will be our favorite Get You Going song.
Oh, love it.
Yep. You must sing along to your song, though.
Okay.
That'll be part of the deal.
Oh, I can't wait
for this. This comes from an email.
Skinner Marink to your
welcome
dinky
me
dink.
Back into Mornings with Sharp and Hanley, and Jimmy here as well on this Monday. Again, we will have some information up on 1620thezone.com where if you need help or you want to give it, where to go to help our community through what happened here on Friday. We talked about that. Hopefully you get to hear a little bit of in the first segment this morning, but also the spring game. This comes from an email from Ross. So I've told you, Ross is a huge Ohio State fan.
Mm-hmm.
Ross next year is going to take the opening day of the draft off because there could be 5, 6, or 7 Buckeyes go in the opening round. Next year could also be a big year for Iowa. Iowa could have quite a few guys drafted. Nebraska should have a couple of guys drafted, maybe 3 or 4 that will be drafted after being shut out this year. But he brings up a point about the offense. So if you watch Raiola, he not only has, so he's got the poise, he's got the brain, he's got the zip on the ball, just feels different, and he's a tough kid. I mean, he's probably bigger. Didn't you notice that?
Yeah.
He's bigger than I think most people had thought.
You want to bring up his feet?
Yeah, big feet. my comment to you on Saturday was Rule's feet.
His?
Rule looks like he's wearing Bozo shoes.
Well, because they were
red shoes.
Because they were red, yeah.
Yeah, I think he, you know, like sometimes you like to, you know, like when you have feet, like I'm a size 11. Sometimes I like to go 12. So people look at my big feet.
Well, different colors, though, can make your feet look bigger, too.
Rule's feet in those red shoes, they look huge.
I thought so, too.
They look like, man, where's the grand prize game? I'm Bozo. Not that he is Bozo, but with the feet, you know.
Yeah.
Bozo had the big shoes.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I know what you mean.
Back to the quarterback.
Okay, my bad.
Back to reality. Back to life.
Good song.
Back to Dylan Raiola. So another part of just playing pitch and catch is he gets it out quick. So that expands what Nebraska can do offensively, whether it be the quick game, the screen game, on the perimeter, the RPO. I think the RPO will be very, very effective. But Ross brings up a good point. So you have a guy that gets rid of the ball quick. They're not going to ask him to run the ball. Now, if he has to get outside of the pocket, he's going to get with your little Patrick Mahomes pitter-pat feet and the way he runs, because he does so many mannerisms.
Even this?
Yes. He's gonna get you yards. Not, you know, we have to change our mindset. Arm over legs.
Yeah.
But Ross brings up a good point about the wide receivers. So the wide receivers are faster than they've been, and I think they're deeper than they've been since Bo. Like Bo's last couple of years, he built up his wide receiver room really good where they were all different body types.
Yeah.
And they could all do different things. They could play all three spots and you could scheme those wide receivers. But Ross brings up a good point that is the next step in these wide receivers is they've got great speed. They are better blockers. Just got to be consistent because I thought they blocked okay last year, but not just consistently. Is can the Banks, the Nayors, the Lloyds of the world get off the line of scrimmage? When I hear that Malachi Coleman is up to 218, okay, there's a big body that should be able to fight and get off the line of scrimmage. Don't know yet, but that's a good point. That's the next evolution of the wide receiver game is, are those guys able to beat press coverage? And, you know, I think we see in the Big Ten, they let guys initially at the snap beat the crap out of each other at wide receiver and cornerback.
Yeah. I was taken back by this. It shouldn't have been a major surprise, but we were going down the elevator, and it was Michael, myself, and Kenny Bell. And Kenny knows the position, obviously, and he was probably part of the last time Nebraska had essentially loaded wide receiving room.
End of Bo's tenure, yep. They were a deep wide receiver room.
And he said he thought there are more explosive options. Now, to your point, though, explosive is all well and good to have that ability, but are you able to do those things of getting off of press coverage? And this was something that Matt Rhule was critical of, even midway through the spring, and talked about that element of the next phase for them. But hearing a guy who played the position, who is in tune to what is going on with that group right now currently, to hear that was very encouraging. To hear that there are probably more explosive options with this group than what they had on what we knew was the deepest that they'd been. Hey, that is a very positive sign. And I thought even Janiran Bonner, who he did have a drop, but his size and seeing him a little bit out on the perimeter too, these were good signs of guys that you heard of that have now either moved positions or had a decent spring, to see them show up and get a chance with your own eyes to say, oh, okay, that big body out there on the edge too, helping out, that's a luxury.
So Bonner is a dynamic wideout. See, they're all built differently. So you can scheme them, and there's a couple of guys that can play a variety of roles. I just think getting the ball out quick and getting it into the flat and screen game and RPO game, and if they are going to be as good as I think they can eventually become in blocking the perimeter, and Bonner is one of those guys, then, man, they don't need a lot of Raiola. They just need to get the ball out quick, okay? And he, as you noticed, he throws a ball that's very catchable. The thing that I remember Fedoni saying last year with Harburg is Harburg threw a ball that rose. Like he would throw it hard, but it would start to take off. So it was not the normal kind of football you're used to catching. And if you weren't used to it, if you hadn't done a lot of reps with him, it was difficult. I mean, among other things of what Harburg went through last year. But I noticed with Raiola, Raiola doesn't throw many balls that are not just like on your hands that you can catch. And I watched him in warmups, just the simple art of, I'm just throwing it from one quarterback to the other, okay? Whether you can spin it, if it's a spiral, but it's on point. It's not here, down here, over here.
Yeah.
It's basically chest to chest.
Yeah, it's in a frame.
And if you're gonna play the quick passing game and you need a guy to get it out, he's got to throw a ball where you can catch it. Here's the next element, and by the way, I agree with Ross. That's the next step of guys getting off. The other thing that I think you'll see with these wide receivers, and they're improved. Good on Garrett McGuire. Also, probably there's a more of an influx of talent in that room. Is I think Nebraska will take the step because of the way the football is thrown to them. Runs after catch will be a lot more greater than they've been in the past.
That was. Okay, now this is where I have to remind myself who was active and who wasn't active on Saturday. But that element right there stood out a lot to me. Watching Nayor, watching Banks, this is where, and now I go back to what Kenny Bell said about having more players, having more people in that room that have more explosive ability, is you watching this starts with that accuracy and getting those receivers in stride, but underneath our routes where you're able to clear out, you're able to get a guy the ball in space, you're leading him, and then he's turning it upfield. Nayor, man, he glides. And that was cool to see Jamal Banks. that has that type of ability as well. I think the one guy that everybody should be very excited about, and really his confidence afterwards, and a lot of us saw it on the kickoff too, but Ja'Cory Barney, and I'm not telling you anything you didn't know. You've been singing his praises from day one. I think people got a chance to see what he could potentially do too, and having that big play making ability, getting upfield. Those guys getting the ball in space, and you're right, yards after contact, whether it's being able to have that initial shedding of the tackle or just being able to have the burst to get around and leave a guy hanging in air, it seems more evident. Now, this is where you have to remember, because I know people are like, come on, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Yeah, I get it. You know, you don't have Marquise Buford. You don't have certain players that are tracking some of these guys down where maybe it looks a little bit different. But you can see that speed. You can see that ability to get around defenders and turn it upfield into 10 or 15 more yards.
You combined an improved wide receiver room with a quarterback that can make all the throws. I will tell you another area where I think Nebraska can do some damage on this offense in the passing game is crossing routes. Mm-hmm. They ran a lot of them on Saturday, but it takes a touch of the football to complete a crossing route.
Yep.
Because you've got to throw it where they catch it in stride. And so once they catch it, they turn the corner. And if you have touch on the football and you're able to make that little toss, now you're under duress and you think, well, it's only like 6 yards away in front of me, but you got to lead the guy. Yep. Man, if you can do that, I there's just, when you have a quarterback that has the skill set of Raiola, it opens up elements on different levels of what you can do offensively. And welcome back the screen game. I think Nebraska is, you're probably see some guys that are probably a little bit faster foot speed on the offensive line than we've seen, because Nebraska has essentially given up on the screen game over the last few years. But the RPO could be a problem, and they ran it. I was a little bit surprised because, you know, there were a lot of spies that were watching on Saturday. Mm-hmm. They ran it a little bit more than I thought they would. But I saw it, and the first time I was like, ooh, with bodies on the outside, what they could do with that, dang, that could actually turn out pretty well for them.
That's where I think it's, if you're showing something that you essentially don't care if other teams are able to take that away.
Are you talking to Fleck?
Yep. That you can actually say,
spies like us?
It's fine.
60K that were there?
Oh. Sorry, talk about that. It's a great movie.
Great movie. That is a great, a very underrated Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase movie. That you can get that type of look, but still say, we don't care if you see it, because we know this is going to be a strength. Try and stop it, because we're not even at full strength at that position of what we can throw out there. And this is essentially watching that part of their game, knowing that you have a quarterback that can make those proper decisions because of what he has both physically and mentally, but also having receivers that are able to turn things up like that. The other part, I wanted to mention this, because I get it, it was not the highest stress level that any of those quarterbacks are going to be in, but do we talk enough about Dylan's pre-snap command of getting in between plays when they're wanting to go quick? And I kind of joked about having the Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's setting everyone up. That's a true freshman. He looked completely in control of getting in and out of certain formations and personnel and what they're trying to get in, never to the point that he was looking at the sideline of what are we doing? And we're talking the 15th practice of that. And I know things were a little bit more basic, a little bit more vanilla, but again, this is an 18-year-old guy that looked like he'd been playing in this system for many years.
Do you think, though, they've had 15 practices of in-helmet communication?
Yes. And obviously that helps. And that maybe that's the bigger story of it as well, is what that is doing to, especially two guys in your room, two freshmen, that communication, you would think, in a situation like that and then later in the season, would be a little bit more sporadic or very chaotic. You didn't get that sense at all. And so there's where you could see for your own eyes the benefits of having that in-helmet communication and those guys' ability to pick that up so fast.
Aiden writes into the Equitable Bank inbox, in 6 to 8 years where we had, first spring game in 6 to 8 years where we had an actual offense pop on the TV screen. You could tell in years past, even in vanilla spring games, they just didn't have the athletes. Right. This year looked different, intrigued. I thought, now I'm gonna preface this all by, they still have a ways to go, But there was just more of a flow of the offense in a spring game. And, you know, in the spring game, it can be a little junky.
Mm-hmm. Because, last year was.
Because you got bodies moving in and out.
Yep.
Nebraska didn't put the ball on the carpet. They threw an interception. They had a fumbled snap. Mm-hmm. But they didn't, like last year, they had six fumbles. It just, the whole offense looked like it was more in a flow, and it made sense. It, like, one play made sense to the next and the next and the next, setting up. They also did, here's one thing that, boy, we might be changing how we approach a discussion on Satterfield. Is I saw on Saturday, to a much lesser degree because it's a spring game,
mm-hmm.
they were running pet plays. So what I mean by that is they would run one play that would set up like the next play, or would set up the rest of a series, or they ran something in the first quarter that they had success on, and they went back, because basically halfway through the third quarter they cashed in the passing game and said, let's run the ball.
Yeah.
They ran something in the first quarter, and then they had success with it, and a different quarterback, I think it was Harburg, Raiola completed a pass. It was a very simple pass, but they ran the same exact play in the third quarter with Harburg, and it had the same success. So I saw that they had a flow where they had pet plays, like complementary plays where one play set up another, mm-hmm. or if they had something that was good, they went back to it later in the game. And that's, again, part of an element when things flow offensively, and you know, you can open up some things in the passing game. And trust me, they're confident in their running game. You all may not be confident in the running game, but I think they're confident in their running game, how it will set up and vibe with their passing game.
I think what we talked about on Friday, a little bit, I should say Thursday with the roundtable, is are they going to shield a little bit of the running game? But yes. a guy that we talked about, and they did. But a guy that we talked about, curious on, I think.
Well, they did. Let me send it to somebody real quick. They did, because that game is for recruits. Look at five-star athlete, absolutely. Wide receiver,
yes,
Michael Terry's on campus.
Yes, that's a great point.
Emmanuel Choice has Nebraska as a leader. He's a four-star wide receiver. They have a freshman quarterback. So a lot of that game was for the guys that were on the sidelines, not necessarily for us, but that's kind of also why, you know, you showcased the passing game. You didn't say, hey, people came here to watch us run the ball 70 times.
Absolutely. But one of the guys we said really needed to benefit from a solid showing in Dante Dowdell. And if you look at what he was able to do, he had the 49-yard run. We were watching how much he would be used. He was used early on. I wasn't blown away with what I saw from his ability, but knowing that he at least had an impact and it seemed like there was still some trust there where he was getting a lot of the carries, I think that was a positive when it came to the running game. And the fact that you had a lot of offensive linemen that were not in action on Saturday, but some of those younger guys, seeing like a Gatula, seeing a Kanak, seeing some of those younger guys have been talked about in a very positive way, all had a lot of reps, and you could see where their progress was. So that kind of goes to the running game part of it, of what I'm interested to see when you've got that healthy group, but then you can rotate and have that ability, how that's going to not only help your quarterback situation, but also the running game too. Get so focused on the running backs themselves, but the offensive line, obviously a huge part of that right now.
I'm probably still a little uncomfortable about the running backs. I'm not saying that I'm going to change. I mean, I can change, but God, there just wasn't enough on Saturday where I went, okay, I think, in my opinion, I have some concern there. One, about reliability and everybody being able to make all the runs. Mm. So it was nice to see Dowdell, because he had not had a great spring do what he did, but it didn't all of a sudden change my opinion. They go, oh boy, now I don't know. They've got to have a good summer, and then they've got to have a good start to camp and a plan for them to have success out of that room. Yeah. All right, 58 past the hour. Jacob Bigelow, Amy Just coming up in about an hour right here on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. but nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.